Blog Talk Radio.
Who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the almighty, all-wise, and true and living God who has come to us this day and left in our midst a divine reminder of his presence, his power, and his majesty in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. I speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide in these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And I greet all of my listening and viewing audience with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise. In the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you, we say to you all in both their names with love, Assalamu alaikum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com. Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly SalaamJournal.com and SalaamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved audience, we say unto you in both God and his messenger's name, As-salamu alaykum. A few things we get into before we go further into the news. Brothers and sisters, it's amazing. When you're working, you don't realize the work that you're doing. You don't realize the lives that you are affecting. And you don't realize the person who you are turning into. Allah is a magnificent God. I'm telling you, he is. His messenger is the most brilliant and most. I see why Almighty God Allah chose the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to carry this work out. Because a lot of us would not have had the patience. Well, none of us would not have had the patience, the dedication, nor the inspiration to go into the mire, go against the grain, and go against everything that was established and break the establishment. Break the lies, break the stranglehold, and break the power of this devil, his culture, his religion, and his world. So I know why Master Farad Muhammad can be given credit as being the wisest of all the gods, because he chose the greatest messenger of God. Now, I say that about working is because on our Tumblr site, I get a message from Tumblr last night, and we hadn't had the Tumblr site up, less than seven months, something like that. And they sent a message to us last night and told me that I had already done over 4,000 articles for the website. I was like, what? Not even a year, over 4,000 articles for Tumblr. So when you're working in the name of Allah and his messenger, it doesn't seem as though it's work. It's a labor of love, and sometimes you lose track of the volume of work that you're doing until somebody reminds you. So all praise is due to Allah. That lets us know that we're truly working, trying to get this truth out to the people without hindrance, and we're trying to get the majority of you who would give ear to listen to these words of truth. Now, brothers and sisters, I say unto you all again, As-salamu alaykum. This is Around the World in 60 Minutes. First, we're going to go to Europe, see what their situation is. Then we're going to come back home, and we're going to address some of this thing about eugenics. We may even stay over in Europe a little bit, because a lot of what's going on is connected from America to Europe to Africa and how they're trying to prevent us from becoming a people. Man, this devil is something else when I think about his works. And then I think about how bad our God is, and bad meaning good, and how he has come to deliver us, and he is throwing hell on those who are inmates of hellfire, the Caucasian race. He is destroying their power to hold, their power to rule, the power to project, the power to maintain. Everything that they had established is now being thrown in convulsions. They are scared at what they see. And all of them are now bearing witness that what they see is greater than what they can do to change what they see. They're saying that it's too late. We've reached the point of no return. There's a change going on. If you listen to John Williams of Shadow Stats, you listen to Gregory Manarino of some investment company, you listen to Jim Rogers, Peter Schiff, all of them are telling you that there's a great going on right now. Elijah Muhammad was telling us that. He said that take nobody's word and make no mistake about it. We are living in the change of worlds. He was saying this long before this had become ideal to say, because Allah had stricken America and stricken Europe and the European financial system, educational system, cultural ideas, and military system with a cancer that has metastasized, right? And the more they did to maintain and service their power and their system, the more they exacerbated that cancerous growth. And now it has reached systemic portions. And the cancer has spread throughout the system, throughout the body of Anglo supremacy. And you cannot extract it. It is killing the whole body. They're telling you the system is corrupt. Aren't they saying that? You cannot tell me with a straight face that you have not heard one of them say that the system is corrupt. They're telling you that everything is falling down. There's a great transfer of wealth and power from the West to the East. Didn't Elijah Muhammad say that in the Theology of Time? Didn't he say it? Didn't he say it in the 1968 Savior's Day? Now everybody is saying it. But he said it first. And he told us why. It was because of you, black man and woman here in the wilderness of North America, that God struck out after you to save you from your enemy, to break their stranglehold on you, and to redeem you and raise you up and resurrect you and revive you to a consciousness of God. And he would stop at nothing to place you back on top of civilization. Now, laughing, and they'll tell you, well, it's the corruption of such and such. It's the Fed. It's this. Yeah, it's all of that combined. But the greatest reason is God has had them in derision. They are confused because it is time that the dead should rise. And all of the nations are angry because it is your and my day. And when God puts this thing in motion, none can stop it. I believe the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that beautifully on 170. Let me go to it real quick. Because I wasn't even expecting to talk on that. But here it is. This is what he says. The destruction and fall of the world that we have known is now without a doubt in process. When we refer to the world, we are referring to the world of the white man. For the world of the black man has yet to come in. The world of the black man, by divine guidance, is now merging in on the old world of the white race. This makes the destruction and fall of the world of the white man imminent. Here in America, we can see nothing but the fall of America. It is no secret. It is obvious to the eyes that are open. If we want to close our eyes and minds, we claim that we do not see and understand, then we will be falling ourselves. This refusal to see is foolhardy, for regardless to how we may desire to see the old world stand, we do not have the power to stave off the destruction that causes the world of the white man to fall. The destruction and power that is bringing about the fall of the world of the white man is coming from Allah. It ain't coming from Russia. It ain't coming from China. It ain't coming from North Africa or the Middle East or South and Central America or the Caribs. It's coming from Allah. He is directing the affairs. He is in the pilot seat. He don't have no co-pilots. He is directing all that you see here and all that you don't see and hear. Muhammad goes further and says this. In the past history of the world of the white man, there was never a time of destruction of his world like the present time. Stop right there. And this is true. They're saying that this destruction that is coming on America and on the Western world will make the Great Depression and the famine of the 30s look like child's play. This is what they are saying, right? So if this is greater than there was never a time like this before, right? They're all acknowledging the obvious now. But when Elijah Muhammad was teaching you these things, you thought this man had gone in a closet and made up his own religion. And everything that he said is coming to be. We're going to show you what's going on in Europe in just a second. And it's all because of you and I. Listen to what he says right here. It is useless for you to try to prevent the fall of the white man's world. There is no checking it. Now, since we're on that part right there, and I didn't even decide I wasn't going to talk on this, it just came to me, I want to reiterate something. It is useless for you to try to prevent the fall of the white man's world. There is no checking it. Do you believe that? Look around you first before you answer that question. Look around you. Weigh what the people are saying. Weigh what you see the elite doing. And I ask you again, do you believe that? The white world is falling. There's no checking it. So no matter who you may be, no matter how wise you may be in your own sight, offering a torchlight for America is of no use. Because Elijah Muhammad, a man who spoke with God and also taught you, a man who ate with God and lived with God and missioned by God and empowered by God and led by God and backed by God, says it is useless for you to try to prevent the fall of the white man's world. There is no checking it. Huh? So all that we see, you see them moving money from here. You see them going to gold assets. You see them going to silver assets. You see them going to land assets, as Jim Rogers said the other day on one of the shows. And he was talking, they were asking him, well, what is a safe haven? Where? And I tried to download this so that you could actually hear for yourself, but they put some kind of block on it. But anyway, they were asking him, well, you're saying that nothing is safe. Where are you going to hide your wealth? Gold, silver, such as, he says, now there is no safe haven anywhere. So, Muhammad says, it is useless for you to try to prevent the fall of the white man's world. There is no checking it. Then he tells us a little further. He goes and says this to us. The white race has not tried to do the right thing. Well, Elijah Muhammad, what is the right thing? Justice. The doing of justice would have checked her fall. But America was never willing. And even at this hour, she is not willing to do justice by those whom she has mistreated. She has dealt injustice to her black once slaves for nearly 500 years that she has been in the Western Hemisphere. Stop right there. Now, we see America under divine strain. We see Europe under the divine strain. And remember that there's a chapter called The Angry Nations, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad explains to us biblical prophecy and biblical words on these angry nations and why they're angry. Because it was time that the dead in God rise, and we being the choice of God would be the first resurrected, the first given God's divine wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and empowered by a man raised directly from the face of God, as is written in both Bible and Holy Quran, and it is said throughout the ancients. Huh? Oh, man, we got an awesome God on our side today, and his name is Master Farad Muhammad. He is our Savior, and he is here, and he is doing a magnificent work. A work that was never seen before and that will never be seen again. Look at how he's turning the Caucasian world upside down. We're going to go to what's going on in Europe, and we'll tie it into America, and y'all pay close attention to these key words that they're talking about and how Europe has become destitute under the judgment of Allah. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that they would get so much chastisement till they will be forced to break ranks with America. And America would be isolated, completely isolated. So listen what's going on right here, and we can see the early signs of that as we listen to this little clip here. Four-minute clip.
Ireland set to leave its international bailout program, says the country's prime minister. The 85 billion euro emergency aid came after the bank's collapse in 2010, but it meant tax rises and spending cuts to qualify for it. And even when relieved of the bailout burden, there are still years of punishing hysteria ahead for the Irish public. Well, for more on this, let's now talk to Richard Boy Barrett, a member of the Irish Parliament for the People Before Profit Alliance. Thank you so much, Mr. Barrett, for joining us here on RT to talk about that. So the Taoiseach, or the Irish Prime Minister, says that there is finally the light at the end of the bailout tunnel. But what about the public? I mean, do they have reasons to celebrate?
No, not at all. I think the Taoiseach and the government are living in a different planet to the one inhabited by ordinary citizens. The latest budget is the seventh austerity budget, and yet again it has really been very vicious in the cuts that have been imposed on some of the most vulnerable sectors of Irish society. This time, particularly young people were hit. Their social welfare entitlements were hit very hard, even though there are no jobs for them, which will mean many of them will just leave the country. In fact, at the moment, about 40,000 people are leaving the country a year. They've also hit very, very hard medical cover for pensioners and for the chronically sick, which is going to mean actual pain and suffering for some of the most vulnerable sectors of our society. The health budget has been absolutely slaughtered. €750 million is being taken out of that. And remember, that's on top of 7 years of similar attacks. So we're talking about a society that has really been crucified socially and economically by austerity.
But why is the Prime Minister so upbeat about this then?
Because unfortunately he's taking his cues from the European Central Bank, from the financial markets and from the political establishment in Europe. Angela Merkel is slapping him on the back and telling him he's a wonderful guy because he's willing to impose all this pain on Irish citizens in order to protect the European banking system.
So
he's
in other words,
good press,
the banks are
in
going
Germany
to be,
and across mm-hmm. Europe.
So the banks are going to be bailed out, but there are strings attached and the burden will actually fall on the people. Is that so?
That's what's happening. I mean, in a thoroughly disastrous way, the economy is absolutely strangled. There's no serious signs of economic recovery. We have mass unemployment. We have an enormous housing crisis. Our health service, frankly, is bordering on collapse. And as I said, we have a massive outward migration of young people, a brain drain of the talented and educated young people in this country that could actually help it recover. So I think we will be counting the cost of this bank bailout for decades unless we change policy.
I mean, we've seen anti-austerity protests in Greece, Spain, Portugal, and they have been quite intense. But, you know, the public reaction in Ireland doesn't seem to be as intense as in those countries. Why?
Well, I think, first of all, on a positive note, the pensioners' organizations have called a demonstration next week against the cuts affecting pensioners, which have been very cruel. And I think you will actually see large numbers on the streets there. So the government, the government's hope that there wouldn't be popular resistance may be mistaken. But I think the other factor that really has been important is that the Labour Party are in government and they have very strong connections with the trade union movement and they have used their influence to quell popular resistance among organised workers. It's not that people don't want to protest, but the organisations that would normally lead those protests are essentially in bed with the government.
All right, Richard Boyd Barrett, member of the Irish Parliament for the People Before Profit Alliance. Thank you so much for talking to us here on RT.
He said the economy of those nations have been crucified. Do you understand what that means? They are being taken out and lynched, right, because of the dire straits of from Ireland to Portugal, France and Germany and England. Europe is in trouble. And so they can't continue to go on all of these war escapades as we see France doing, a colonial power who refuses to let Africa go. She's deploying more troops in all of her former colonies in Africa. I told you on this show, and you will bear me witness, that the escapade in Mali was not about humanitarian purposes. It was to secure the uranium and the gold. And she would dig further and go to other former African colonies. And now she's talking about, under UN mandate, going into the Central African Republic and waging war. They don't want to let go. They see that world being taken from them. Yet, because they know that everything that they have is dependent upon Africa, they are fighting tooth and nail to keep a stranglehold that continent and to prevent the rise of an independent African nation. That's why they resented our brother Gaddafi. That's why they resent our brother Mugabe, because they represented independence. They represented black nationalism in a way not seen by the black nationalists over here. So they're waging a war tooth and nail. What you don't understand is that all of the former colonial powers still hold some type of reign or rule over their former colonies. France and England, let me speak of England first, whether it be Pakistan, whether it be India, whether it be Macau, which was a Chinese territory, which was handed back to China after China was threatened to go to war with Great Britain. Whether it was Hong Kong, or whether it is the Middle East or the Northern African nations. I got to go through some geography and some geopolitics with you real quick. We'll tie all this in. When Britain left, she didn't completely leave. She had them to sign memorandums of understanding. So did France, and so did the Dutch, and so did the Spanish, and so did the Italians, and so too are the Americans. That's why America is so adamant about them signing bilateral agreements to station troops here and base deals. They always want a remnant of the empire there. So what they did, Britain sucked them up in something called the Commonwealth, where her economy thrives off little bits from their economy. And so too is France. All of these nations that she is waging war on in Central and Northern Africa are nations which her economy is dependent on. Now you tell me, who's the lazy person? Who's the succubus? Is it Black Africa, who has all of the resources and raw material? Or is it the white Europeans who go there and suck it out or take it by force under the lies of right to protect or humanitarian intervention? Then they go in, notice that there's no terrorism until the Caucasians go there and send in their Arab lackeys. And then, being the just champion that they present themselves as, they go to the racist institution called the United Nations, where they have only one semi-aboriginal nation on the council, no aboriginal nations, 7 continents, no black, brown, or red on the Security Council. Huh? Black people outnumber white people in the world 11 or 12 to 1. Yet none of them sit on the council. But we have two from Europe, one in America, actually 3 from Europe when you count Russia, one in America, and then we have the Chinese. But no one from Africa, South America, Central America, the Caribbean, the Middle East. Come on, talk back to me on these issues. And this is why Allah is here. He's here to make a just world, a better world, and to remove the order of the old world because it's an unjust, corrupt rule and order. The old world must go. And that's why the prophet says, behold, he makes all things new. And all the former shall pass away. A new heaven and a new earth. We can't have something new if we got the old rulers ruling. We can't have nothing new. They have shown for the last few decades that they cannot produce anything new. Allah has taken the creative mind from them, so they can't produce anything new. Look at the movies. All of them are remakes. Huh? Look at what they're doing in industry. They're plagiarizing the other ones, right? Look at what they're doing in manufacturing. Nothing is new because the creative mind has been taken from them. That means a sudden collapse and destruction of the old world order. Black people constantly talk about a new world order. I see it all on Facebook when I go to check the thing. We need to get away from the new world order, you fool. The true new world order is the order of the black man. You have been listening to these devils so long till you bought into propaganda, especially you black people who call yourselves Muslims. Of course the devil rings about a new world order, but how in the world can he bring one in? He's showing you he can't do nothing new. The scientist told you he cannot do anything but what his nature dictates to him. So how can he produce something new? Yes, Satan says that he would try to build a kingdom like the Most High. But how can he do it with limited wisdom, knowledge, and understanding? And the Most High has unlimited wisdom, power, knowledge, and understanding. It cannot be done. Science bears witness to what I'm saying. history bears witness to what I'm saying. The geopolitical arena now bears witness to what I'm saying to you. So you got to stop feeding into the alternative websites. You've got to stop feeding into all of this stuff that they're putting out there to turn you as an enemy of your own world order. Remember they said, well, one government, one world currency, they make you feel all that. Well, true, if they get a chance to do it, it'll be bad. But remember, God says that he comes to take over everything and to build a new order, right? And he said everything in the world would be under Islam, right? That's a world order, right? That's a universal order. And the messenger said that in this new world order, under God, there would be unlimited progress, freedom, justice, and equality, and we would have a new money, right? Aren't they trying to do that? Now, long before they were doing it, Elijah Muhammad said this in some of his lectures, right? But you are too foolish to understand and to extract what Elijah Muhammad says and look at what is going on and see that Satan is only saying this because he's trying to beat God to the punch. Everything God says he's going to do, Satan tries to beat him to the punch, but he can't do it. He doesn't have enough wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And he is an unnatural entity in a natural environment. And sooner or later, that natural environment will consume him. That's scientific. That's science. That's mathematics. We just have to be patient. I was reading the Holy Quran last night, and I forget which chapter it was. I believe it was those who wrap themselves up. I believe that was it. When the Quran says, but above all, be patient. You know, we have to be patient and wait on our God to perform and deliver. He has not failed us in nothing that he has proposed or said to us. Everything that we see is for your and my benefit. And we see the justification of the removal of this world. As a matter of fact, on the Hines 1555 blog, we were talking about, I didn't put the article out yet. I've been holding it for a few days. But it's an article about Bill Gates. You know, Jay-Z friend. The one that they go scaring across the world together. Mr. Bill Gates. And now they're getting ready to implement a program of wristbands, colored wristbands, to force people who are poor, who are black, who are brown, who are red, and some who are yellow, to take vaccinations, which have been proven to cause autism, brain aneurysms, and all types of sicknesses, right? They're saying they're doing this to vaccinate the world. But Mr. Gates is a part of the eugenics movement. His father was one of the founding fathers of the eugenics movement to kill off black people. A lot of you don't understand this. This is a global movement to kill off you and I. And all of those who are in power are trying everything that they can to prevent us from rising. And so this a black woman was targeted in one part of the article. It's talking about this black woman. She was targeted with eugenics drugs. They injected her with a deadly carcinogen. And the carcinogen is being offered to black people and in black communities as a contraceptive. They don't even use this in animals, brothers and sisters. Listen to me good. And it's amazing that no black website is talking about this. So I held the article for a few days to see if anyone else – I do that sometimes. I strategically hold back certain articles to see if other people would even talk about these things. Well, we're going to see something. We're going to go see if Elijah Muhammad has this right about – how the white man would try to attack us because he knows that this is the day of our deliverance. And so we're going to go to chapter 21 of the Our Savior Has Arrived. There we go right here. And on page 104, this is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says right here. Well, let's go back to 103 for a minute, the first two paragraphs. And it gives you an idea of the mind of these devils. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says this in the chapter called Black and White Worlds Near Showdown. due to the presence of Allah in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, and his aims and purpose to take over his own, it brings us hourly to a showdown of who shall rule the nations of the earth. The present world, white people, have had their time and have gone over their time to rule. Nevertheless, they still want to rule or destroy the idea of someone else ruling, as shown by their preparations made for the total destruction of the human family of the earth. This is what they are doing. They're talking about depopulation. Whenever the white people rule without hindrance, they didn't think about depopulation. But now they're saying that the earth cannot sustain the population. If the earth can sustain it, the earth itself would kill us off. Don't need your help. Right? There were billions before they stepped on the scene. And if they truly believe in depopulation, because the earth needs to be sustainable, here's a bit of information. Since you were the last on the planet, do like you do at your jobs. The last one hired is what? The first one fired. So if you're truly concerned about the environment, because you've wrecked shops since you've been here, do us all a favor. Take yourself out. All right? And watch how natural things go back. But let us go to this. On 104, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says this. The white world, as it goes out, has not been asleep to its responsibility. They have been building up their arms and arsenals and factories for this day in order to kill the black man. They are doing this in so many ways with drugs and the surgeon's knife in the hospitals. It is the greatest desire of the white man that he does not leave the black man in position to keep populating the earth under his own color. Then he tells us this. Our women are the target. Stop right there. Don't you see all of these commercials now where they're showing interracial couples? I was looking last night, and I know at least 10 out of 20 commercials that I saw had a white man and a black woman. And the black woman, she was so bright-skinned that you had to take a double take to look at her, because she was talking like him, walking like him, acting like him. She had her hair curled like him, everything, right? Our women are the target. And so they will give you a job, black woman, over the black man. That is so that they can more easily attack the black nation. You've got to wake up. We looking at these black men out here who are crazy as hell. But sisters, you got to wake up now, because they'll follow your lead, because they're crazy, right? The black man has become crazy, but he is a sex addict. And you can use that to your benefit to get him off of his knees and stand him on his feet. But you can't fall for the okey-doke by what this devil is presenting before you. We're going to go somewhere else. I believe it's in the fall of America. Here we are. In the calamity. Here we are. Right here. The calamity. At the end of 221 on 222, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says this. There are great storms and adverse weather conditions. There are minor earth tremors and hailstorms. There are signs and wonders of signs being displayed in the heavens and in the earth and on the sea and land. There is unusual behavior of children. There is unusual love or dislike of children by mother and fathers, and the destruction of the process of childbirth. There is the great calamity of starvation and great destruction of health and of lives by the use and administering of poisonous drugs, which are practiced upon those who are free and those who are bound. What has been known as America is threatened today with total destruction, not partial, not most, but total destruction. America is destroying herself in her effort to destroy her black slave. The water and air of America are being polluted by chemical bacteriologists. America's scientists of war conduct dreadful experiments on how best to kill human beings by the millions and wipe out the life of whole continents. These are the days of fulfillment of prophecy of not one, but of many calamities. But in all of these preparations of the destruction of the human life by the devil, Allah too has plans to save his people. See, we're seeing all of these things going on today. this eugenics movement, this depopulation program. They're using the weather now as a justification to kill you. Well, if the weather's polluted, black people don't own industry. We don't own paper plantations, paper plants. We don't own the carbon dioxide or carbon monoxide producing factories and companies. Well, if there's a danger to society and we don't build nuclear bombs, we don't build fighter planes, warships, we have not initiated a war against the West. So if there's a danger to the atmosphere, to the earth, to the environment, then logic, common sense, science, and reasoning tells us that the person who is the danger should be removed first, right? So we see who that is. But sometimes we don't use common sense. We use feelings. I feel. I think. Well, that don't mean nothing in the day of judgment. Because what you feel and what you think don't mean nothing but your destruction if what you feel and how you think about something is total opposite of what God feels and what he thinks and what he commands and what he decrees. We're at the end of this, brothers and sisters. You better get on the good foot, like James Brown say. You better get on the good foot because this world is crashing and burning right before our eyes. And there's nothing you can do to stop it, prolong it, or stave off what has been decreed to come upon America and this world at large. And all of these things that you see that has happened, that is happening, and that they are predicting to happen, all you have to do is go to Theology of Time, Fall of America, Our Savior Has Arrived, Message to the Black Man, How to Eat to Live 1 and 2. And if Elijah Muhammad didn't say it, speak it, or predict it, then I'll eat every last one of these books without salt or pepper. That tells you something, huh? That's how confident I am in that man and his God and the truth that they delivered to us. We see it all happening, brothers and sisters. And by the way, I believe I did find a clip of Mr. Jim Rogers, I believe it was. Mark Farber. I said Jim Rogers, I believe it's Mark Farber. It may be the clip and it may not be, but it's like 3.5 minutes. Pay close attention to this and listen to what he says, all right, and how he says
it. Well, we had a strong rally from the lows at 1,180 to over 1,400, and now we're backing off. I think between around 1,200 and 1,250. It's getting into a buying range. I mean, the sentiment about gold is very negative. But if you look at everything considered, the monetization of the debt ceiling, which sooner or later will be increased because basically both Republicans and Democrats are big spenders. And the government debt has expanded from $1 trillion in 1980 to $5 trillion in 1999. Now we're at $16 trillion. Both Democrats and Republicans have been big, big spenders because
a lot
of money flows through the government.
But, Mark, that has been the big picture for a while now. Here we are 3 days into the October 17th deadline. A lot of doomsday scenarios are piling up. How do you see it playing out?
If they don't agree by the 17th, I think what can happen is that the Fed will actually finance the Treasury independently, so the interest payments are being met. Because if the interest payments are not met, I think it will cause quite a big disruption to the financial markets. So I'm not so concerned about that. I think this budget issue is like the euro issue a year ago, when people were very negative and it was debated and so forth. In the end, it's a political decision.
Right.
I think both parties want to spend. It's just on different items that they want to spend money.
Mark, when you look at what's going on across equities, bonds, currencies, commodities, and when you look at the events in the United States, do you have them as a separate and discrete event, or do you compare them to other idiocies by governments in previous decades?
Yes. Idiocies by governments, that's exactly the word. It's basically a dysfunctional government that we have that has become far too large, that is essentially wasting money left, right, and center. The Republicans are wasting more on the military complex, and the Democrats on basically buying votes with transfer payments, with entitlement programs, and so forth and so on. But it's a huge waste. And the problem is, I don't see really a solution. I think the current debate about the debt ceiling and the budget
right.
is more a symptom of a problem than the problem itself. The problem is really that the government, not only in the U.S., in other countries as well, has grown disproportionately large, and that retards economic growth.
So very quickly, Mark, given that is your worldview, where do you hide out? Is there a safe haven left?
There's no safe haven. Bank deposits are not...
This is a billionaire investor. He's telling you, you cannot run from what is now upon this world. You can buy all the gold you want, but the fifth book of James tell you what's going to happen. So buy it. I want all of white America and all of them to buy it, because the book says, according to God's promise to Abram at the time, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a strange land and among strange people, and that they shall serve their strange people. And after they serve, will I come and I judge them. And God tells us, he gives us a promise through Abram. He says, but when we come out of here, we're not coming out of here broke. We're not coming out of here the way they brought us here. He said, we're going to come out with great sustenance. So go buy the silver. Go buy the gold, the platinum, and the palladium. It's all going to belong to us eventually. These are scriptures being fulfilled. They can't run. They cannot hide. Remember in the judgment, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that there is no way for them to escape what God has brought to them. They can't escape it beneath the earth, in the earth, in the water, on the land, in the air, or above the air. They can't escape it, because this decree is not just from you and I. This is a divine decree by the divine supreme being to destroy a antithesis of righteousness. That's that white man. That's the white world, the white culture, the white order, the white way of governance. Everything is going out. All right? We see it happening right before our eyes. Now, we got to get a couple more clips in, because we just got a dashboard full of clips, and we just trying to get some, because we didn't get a, when they were messing with our dashboard a few days ago, we didn't get a chance to play some of them. And I'm trying to get as many as I can in for you today. Now, let's listen to this. Some of the clips we have on the website, but for some of you who do not have access to the internet, only through your phone, we try to play a few of the clips on here for some of our elders who may not have access to the internet or may not know how to skirt the internet. So listen to this this short clip here also, okay?
Now, there may be progress, but it's not all good. The deal being talked about now wouldn't resolve the crisis, but rather kick the can down the road, setting the scene for another budget showdown early next year. More on this now with investor Jim Rogers, author of Street Smarts, Adventures on the Road and in the Markets. Jim, thank you so much for joining us here today on RT to discuss this. Well, look, even if there's no deal to raise the debt ceiling in 2 days, the U.S. Treasury has got tens of billions of dollars in reserves, and some are saying that, you know, America's economy still has time. What's your take?
Well, Marina, first of all, you said they're going to kick the can down the road for a few more days. Marina, we've been kicking the can down the road for 60 years in America. How do you think we got this much debt? We're the largest debtor nation in the history of the world. We've got to do something about it. Every year that goes by, Marina, we go deeper and deeper into debt. Somebody's got to solve this problem one way or the other.
Okay, but how can it be solved? I mean, the senators are now saying that they've got a solution, a temporary fix is what they say, that would last for a few months. But what happens after that? I mean, it all seems like a do now something, but think later approach.
Well, that's exactly right. You used the word temporary fix. That's what it is, Marina. That, you know, this has happened 18 times in the last 30 years or so. They continue to do the same thing. They say, okay, we've got a compromise, we've got a solution, and the next thing you know, 2 or 3 years later, we're right back where we started, except the debt is that much higher every time. they can keep doing this, and they have been doing it for 30 years. But Marina, eventually, the market's going to say, we don't want to play this game anymore. We're not going to lend you money at any price. And America will then go into sudden and steep decline, just as it's happened in the UK, in Spain, and many other countries over the past 200 or 300 years.
All right, now let's look back a few years to 2008, the global financial crisis, and some analysts were saying back then that when America sneezes, the whole world has a cold. So, I mean, is this a similar situation now? What happens to the countries who have their assets in dollars? How are they affected?
Well, Marina, this is all a temporary little game that they're playing in Washington. People who've got dollars are not affected at all. I would hope they would be. I wish that somebody would, that something real would come out of this. But at the moment, that if you own dollars, you should not be paying attention to this. I know, Marina, you're a journalist. You've got to have people watch your TV, and you've got to report it. But, I mean, people who are real investors are not paying too much attention to this because nothing's going to come up.
Well, you know, President Obama a short while ago was talking about America's exceptionalism, and it looks like the exceptionalism extends to the financial sphere as well. I mean, is this right, or is it time now to move away from the dollar as, you know, the major reserve currency?
Well, many people in the world were a little embarrassed when Mr. Obama said that we were an exceptional country, because historically, maybe we are this year, but over the past few thousand years, that's a little bit of an embarrassing statement, as many people in the world know. Yes, we're an exceptional country right now. We're the largest debtor nation in the history of the world, Marina. No country in the history of the world has ever gotten itself this deep in debt, and we're going to pay the price down the road. And all of our creditors and all of the people doing business with us are, too. We're the largest economy in the world, but we're in decline, and we're not solving our problems.
Well, but Jim, what's the way out of this? I mean, is there a light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak? I mean, the budget and debt showdowns are becoming an annual thing. Where's the end?
Yes, there's a solution. Take take a chainsaw and cut spending. Are they going to do it? Absolutely not. You see what's happening in Washington right now. Same old charade. They will come out in a few days, and they will announce everything is okay now. We've solved the problem. And a year or two or three from now, the debt will be up this much higher, and we'll be back at the same place we are now, only worse because the debt will be worse. And countries that are lending to America have really, you know that Russia, China, a few other countries are starting to say, we've got to do something else. We cannot keep putting money into U.S. dollars and into U.S. government bonds because this thing is going to end badly. I'm not the only one who knows that. Many other countries are starting to say, we have to find an alternative to the U.S. dollar because these guys are not solving their problems.
All right, Jim, it's always great to have you with us. Jim Rogers, investor and author. Thank you so much for being with us here on our
Thank you, Marina. My pleasure.
And on page 188 of The Fall of America, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, and the nations, Europe and Asia, stood afar off for fear of her burning, America, and for fear of her divine plagues. To you, my black people, the end is now. Didn't he just say that they're going to start running away, China and Russia and all of the creditor nations? They're running away. They see that America, the greatest fall. And then he goes in and tells us on page 199, he says this to us. It is terrific. I use the word terrible because it is not a thing that can be described as something mild, or something that is moving slowly, nor something that can be recognized so easily by the common people. It is clear to all who can see America has reached the stage about which she has always been warned. Stop right there. Did you hear Jim Rogers when he says, anyone who is a serious investor is not paying attention to what they were doing about the debt ceiling in Washington, the little game that they were playing, that we told you that they were playing. He said anyone who's a serious investor was not paying attention to that. They are looking at what is coming and what has already happened, and they're basing their decisions on their wealth on that. So Muhammad says, it is clear to all who can see that America has reached the stage about which she has always been warned. She always has wanted to keep it a secret because of her so-called Negro slaves. She never desired for the slave to know too much of what was in store for her because of her enslaving and mistreating her slaves. Now, listen, brothers and sisters. Doom, he says, has entered into America's door. He's telling us that. And what did Mr. Jim Rogers tell us? He said, America is exceptional in this way. Never before has a nation been buried in so much debt that they classify America, the so-called superpower, the hegemon, the nation that had other nations trembling in fear across the world, as the greatest debtor nation in the history of the world. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that the earth dates back over 76 trillion years. That's a great milestone, great accomplishment for America, to be the greatest debtor nation in the history of the world. This shows us the depths to which she has fallen, right? Oh, brothers and sisters, before I bring Brother Minister John in, something just came to me. Let's go to page, here we are. Page 249, Fall of America. Listen to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says right here. He says, the beautiful and rich country of America, to which many people of Europe and Asia migrated, seeking refuge in this country, as the prophecy is now coming into fulfillment, in that day and time, everyone will begin to go away from America instead of coming to America. What did Jim Rogers say about Russia and China and all of the people who have been lending America money? What did he just say? And then the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, as the revelation teaches us of the prophecy, that they will stand afar off and see the fire of her burning, and for fear of it, they will lift up their hands and their voices. They will lament for her. America's trade is cut off, and all of her delicious and delicate things that she used to have in trade, it is all gone. In 1 hour or one day, it came to pass here in the Western Hemisphere. Are we not watching this? Are we not seeing it? Are we not hearing the scientists of America, the scientists around the globe, telling us of an inevitable fall that is taking place right here, right now, under our eyes? Huh? Oh, come on. You can't deny Elijah no more. You can't deny the truth that God gave to him anymore. You can't deny the mission, the purpose of the mission. And you cannot deny the teachings because they have become so crystal clear that even a brass monkey can see the truth of his teachings. So on that note, I'm going to give Brother Minister John a few minutes to come behind me and do what he does. Brother, I say unto you, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom all praise is due forever. We forever thank Allah and thank Allah for coming and raising up among you and I our beloved leader, teaching guide, most honorable and humble Elijah Muhammad. My beloved brothers and sisters, indeed, what you have heard here today is the truth that has been revealed through God anointed one, that last and that greatest messenger of Allah who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever. The great knowledge of that messenger and you and I here in America, the so-called American Negro. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that the so-called American Negro fell into the hands of the slave masters who have robbed, spoiled, wounded, and killed them. The Good Samaritan here, Allah, God in person, he will befriend the poor so-called Negro of the black man and woman of America of the tribe of Shabazz and heal their wounds by pouring into their head knowledge of self and others, and free them from the yoke of slavery, and kill the slave master, as Jehovah did in the case of Pharaoh and his people, to free Israel from the bondage and false religion and gods of Pharaoh. Love yourself and your kind. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us it is natural for one to fear that which he have no knowledge. However, when truth and knowledge are made clear to you, you have no choke for fear. Mix up not falsehood with truth while you know it. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad warned us that a day would come He said to us, the consequences of a divine supreme being is accepted by all intelligent human beings, even a savage. He says to us today, the true knowledge of the one divine supreme being is known only to a few. And that's true. Only a few of us here in the wilderness of North America know the name and respect that name and fear that name, that God that came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise due forever. And here we, you and I, living in a dying world, living in a dying government, living in a dying civilization, running around trying to prop it up. You and I cannot prop up this dying world. The world is on its way out. How dare you stand in the way on the brink of a giant earthquake, and you're standing at the edge of that earthquake. You would be swallowed up. Why? Because you have turned a deaf ear to the sound of that awful announcement that says to us, the shock of the hour is a grievous thing. And you and I see today in the wilderness of North America among the tribe of Chibals, the so-called American Negro, the shock of the hour is now going in and out of the ears and homes of every black man and woman in America. Young boys and young girls are being shot down, being hung, being killed, being ran over, being poisoned, being destroyed by the hand of the white man civilization. And I say to you, this day, black man, God have come. He have come for those whom they have robbed, from those whom they have spoiled, from those whom he have wounded and killed. God is here in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom all praise is due forever. And it's for you and I to come on up out of that house of ignorance and get involved with the intelligence of God and his messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the door. He is the truth. He is the sun. He is indeed what the whole world have been looking for. And now he is here to champion our cause. And our cause is freedom, justice, and equality. His aim is to free us and kill his enemy, your enemy and my enemy and Almighty God, Allah enemy. And I say to you, his messenger, declare to the world judgment to the Gentiles and all of the hosts of the Gentiles. And you and I today are blessed by God to see this. Our mothers and fathers said in their departure, in their lifetime, I may not see it, but you will see it in your time, because God will come. And he will answer the prayer that we prayed on our knees, and we heard the whip on our backs, and we saw the tree that the black man was hanging from, and we saw the man wounded by the roadside with his insides or with his private cut off, wounded but the Good Samaritan came. And I say to you this day, black brother, that Good Samaritan is God in person. Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever. We could never thank him enough. And you and I should close our mouths and open up our pockets and open up our hands and help spread this truth of Islam as taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Don't be a talker, be a doer. Pull some of that money out of the bank that you have and help us to spread this truth. Give in charity to this truth that God has revealed. Don't sit down and cross your legs so proudly that you have a few pennies in the bank and will not help this truth. Didn't that you hear the man said a few minutes ago?
what is going to happen to America and what is happening to America and your money that you have locked up in the vault of the white man's bank. Come on and help the cause of truth. Get up. Stop being selfish. The white man have made us selfish. He has spoiled us. Not only did he rob us, he spoiled us. He was spoiled in the name of God. I am a Muslim. And you say, I am a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but you don't help to spread this truth. You sit on your money, and you count your money, and you sit back and smile and cross your legs and say, I'm a rich nigga. That don't make you rich. Your wealth will not save you. Your pretty wife will not save you. Your sons and your daughters will not save you. I say to you, come on and help this cause of freedom, justice, and equality. God have opened your eyes as you say you are Muslim. God have opened your heart if you say you are Muslim. Then help the cause. You don't have to go no way. Wherever you are, send it in to what you heard, the announcement on this broadcast. Send it in there to help this radio broadcast, that it may stay on the air and be independent of those whom we have to go through. And I say to you, my brother, and I say to you, my sister, regardless of how good you put it and how sweet you put it, if your action does not lead and pay homage to your mind or your words, you just blowing hot air and you just joking. You still spoil. You still blind. You still robbed and still being killed by the enemy of God. And you're in my enemy. And time is the essence. So I must turn it back in the hands of Brother Minister Rashid Muhammad as I say unto you, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, and I can't even follow that one up. I'm going to leave that one where that said. All praise is due to Allah. We'll see y'all Tuesday, brothers and sisters, if you can. Go over to the Highlands 1555 blog. Donate $1, one penny, one nickel, one dime, whatever. Let us keep the website going, and let us try to get an independent server. May Allah and the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom all holy praises are due forever, bless and keep you in the name of his last and greatest messenger. Remember, there is no way out, no way around, no way above, or no way beneath salvation only through Elijah Muhammad. We love you, and we go out in both their names. We say unto you all, As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the mood I'm in. Day to day, the roads we take.